As we know, all the great cities of the world, however rich they are, and perhaps because of their seeming affluence, attract a fair number of homeless people and wayfarers who sleep rough in our parks or under bridges before they get moved on by the police. In Salisbury, where I come from in the United Kingdom, and other British towns and cities, and for all I know this happens in America as well, you will quite often find a homeless man or woman on a street corner selling a tabloid paper with articles and information and stories about homelessness in our society. The paper they're selling is called The Big Issue. And the money the paper raises goes to support homeless people in our communities. So I try to buy a newspaper each week, recognizing that homelessness is a big issue, and frankly, I don't know what to do about it, and a pound in his collecting box or preparing soup for wayfarers is the least I can do. He is there most Fridays in all weathers, a cheeky chappy chatting up the passing throng with a mixture of badinage and running commentary and in-your-face salesmanship. He is selling the big issue. He's the nearest thing we have in Salisbury to John the Baptist. Instead of camel skins, he sports a multicolored jester's hat. Instead of locusts and honey, he eats a Big Mac. And instead of calling us a brood of vipers, as his first century forebear would have done, he calls us mate and my darling and hopes we have a good one. He brings a smile rather than tears to our face, and he's selling the big issue. Maybe John on a Salisbury street corner is like the fool in a Shakespeare play. He certainly earned his place as a character on the Salisbury scene. We give him space on the fringes of our working lives, in the places where we expect other charity collectors to be over the weekend, because he has found a niche on our landscape where he can make his pitch. His regular commentary, interspersed with his characteristic big tissue, brightens up a moment of the day before we press on to the important business of our lives. But like the Shakespearean fool, he's also a disconcerting figure, a challenging symbol for all his foolishness. Perhaps we'll avoid him this morning. Perhaps we awkwardly yell that we'll buy a copy later when we've got change. Perhaps we hope he's involved in ribaldry with a young mum or a drinking mate and not spot us. Nevertheless, we quite clearly hear his, "And a very good day to you, sir," addressed to our back as we hurry past him. Perhaps like Shakespeare's fool, he has something to say to us as human beings that we don't care to listen to. He is selling the big issue. John the Baptist, whose birth the church celebrated a mere 2 weeks ago, and whose death at the hands of King Herod we heard about a moment ago, was also selling the big issue. And he seems to have turned his desert hideaway near the River Jordan into something of a circus, for crowds streamed out of the cities and towns and villages to be baptized by him. It's as though the message of repentance that he was preaching had struck a chord, and they came both to be excoriated by his fiery denunciations and to be healed and purified in the cool waters that would wash away more than the grime of the day's journey. John the Baptist, like my latter-day John at a Salisbury street corner, was pointing, prophet that he was, in three directions. He was drawing people out of the towns and the pressure and pace of life into the desert in order to look at the wider picture. There in the wilderness, they had a chance to grasp the big issues, to be confronted by their insignificance in the greater scheme of things on the one hand, and also to see reality as it was. John the Baptist, painted on a larger canvas with an apocalyptic palette of colours. "Even now," he thundered, "the axe is laid to the roots of the tree, so that any tree which fails to produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown on the fire." John the Baptizer was and is pointing over the shoulders of his first century audience, directly looking at us. Though, as today's gospel reminds us, in speaking truth to power, he was dicing with almost certain death. The big issues of our day, though the details will inevitably have changed, are indeed now as then about our humanity and what it means to be human. Not only about our personal morals, but about issues of social justice, global inequality, war and peace, housing and poverty, famine and disease on a catastrophic scale that invites end of the world hyperbole and present day concern and concerted action. And the big issue is also about our response and our lifestyle and our priorities. It is about taking stock, reflecting on ourselves and our values, and what it means for each of us to be more human. That is why every Eucharist has a moment of personal reflection, self-scrutiny, and absolution, as we confess our sins and have them forgiven. We come out into the desert to admit our shortcomings, only to find that God, by his grace, forgives us and turns what has been a desert into an oasis, a place of refreshment and renewal. John, in the Salisbury shopping mall, is also an uncomfortable figure for all his jokiness, because he asks me questions about myself, as did John the Baptist. For the Baptist, when asked, "What must I do then?" replied, "If anyone has two tunics, he must share with the man who has none, and the one with something to eat must do the same." And to the tax collectors, which isn't a way of letting those of us who aren't tax collectors off the hook, we're all tax collectors in this scheme of things, to the tax collectors he instructed, "Exact no more than your rate." And his advice to soldiers was, "No intimidation, no extortion, be content with your pay." And no doubt he would have had plenty of challenging demands to each one of us if we had asked, "And what about me?" As though to say there is some connection between the big issues and the wider canvas on the one hand, and the way we live our individual lives on the other. We make a terrible mistake. Indeed, we deny what it is for us to be human if we simply turn away from the world as it is, as something beyond our control and therefore beyond our interest. To leave the world's big issues to politicians, however wise they may be, is very possibly to leave the world to indifference or incompetence. And then John the Baptist, like my John of the big issue on the Salisbury Street corner, had something to sell. Though what John the Baptist had to sell couldn't be bought. It came like the dew from heaven, graciously, freely, and unconditionally. You will remember that when John the Baptist was born, his father sang a song which not only pointed to the future role his son would play in preparing the way of the Lord, but also beyond him to the biggest issue of them all, the big issue of God in our midst. Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, sang, "In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." He's talking about Jesus, the dawn from on high. He's talking about our new day, and that, most of all, was the message of John the Baptist. He drew people out of the cities to see the world that it really was, with all its pettiness and corruption. He drew them out of the rat race of their daily preoccupations to ask serious questions about themselves. But most of all, he drew them to a desert place, which in the Old Testament is one of the preeminent places for the encounter with God, And it is there in the desert that John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the Messiah, baptized him, and declared that he was the Lamb of God, as pure and blameless as a lamb, but also the one who would be offered up as a sacrifice. I wonder if that desert experience and the ministry of John as he plunged men and women into the waters of the Jordan so that they might have their sins washed away and then raise them again to a renewed and more abundant life, I wonder if that has anything to tell us today about our sense of God and our need of his forgiveness, his healing, and his grace. Let me return to those three big issues that John the Baptist encouraged his followers to see, though he paid a terrible price for his truth-telling, as Christian martyrs have done from John's day onwards. Firstly, this fragile, fractured world of ours is part of our responsibility, and we cannot close our eyes or our hearts to its injustice, pain, and inequality. It needs our prayer, our compassion, our generosity, and our involvement, politically and practically. That is the bigger picture. Secondly, we need to see ourselves as we are, to confront the pain and shame and shortcomings of our lives, so that in the moment we recognize our need of God's forgiveness, we are freed from guilt and resentment and pettiness. As we repent of our sins, we are enabled to look again at what true happiness means and given grace to achieve it. But most of all, we need to take from the Christian story and the good news of Jesus that the dawn from on high, about which Zechariah sang, has indeed broken upon us. The world out there and ourselves right here cannot be put right merely in our own strength. In word and sacrament, as we hear the good news of Jesus in Scripture, and in our weekly receiving of Holy Communion, we are pointed to the one who encounters us in our weakness and in the world's need, and who provides for us graciously, freely, and unconditionally, today and every day. It is he who shines on us and on all who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and who yet guides our feet into the way of peace. He is always there for us, and he is the big issue, yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen.